B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
For Jadeveon Clowney, whether that had been for Minka Fitzpatrick or Jalen Ramsey, whoever it might have been, Emmanuel Sanders. Even though those are guys that I think would have had an impact on this team from the moment they jumped on. One of the best questions of the press conference yesterday was Golden Tate and Jannard Avery. Two guys that they acquired at the trade deadline that did not have huge impacts on the team, and whether or not the coaching staff could implement them into their game plan. Avery certainly didn't happen, but Howie said he still has two more years left to control, so giving up that fifth round draft pick might not be the worst thing in the world, because there's still a lot more dividends he could pay later on. We'll see if that's the case. All I know is the trade deadline came and went, and a team that was at the time still teetering on playoff hopes, they didn't do anything to improve their club there. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5, the Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. And the 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by The Bagster, dumpster in a bag. Yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. Tonight, very important matchup for the 76ers as they play host to the Boston Celtics. To help us understand this further, from the Comcast Business Hotline, or on the Comcast Business Hotline, rather, from NBC Sports Philadelphia, Mark Jackson joins us. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are y'all today?
Doing awesome. We're questioning our Eagles, but looking forward to a nice matchup with the Celtics tonight, my friend. First off, Joel Embiid out. He's got the separated left ring finger. What do you know about the injury, and have you ever separated a finger while playing?
Yes, I've had it. I had it twice. Once in my shooting hand. Taped it up, and this is the beginning of the season. Wow. Taped it up, kept playing, but I will say, if you, with every bit of contact, it re-injures the finger. So that's one way to look at it. But then I had on my left hand where I got it separated, came back in the game, and then Villanova grad, good friend of mine, Alvin Williams, making his Toronto Raptors at times, punched down on the ball and completely fractured the same finger within a 5-minute span.
Wow.
I had to have surgery, plastic surgery, all that on that finger. That finger looked bad. It looked real and ugly. So I've had it twice. Once I played through it for the season, the other one I had it, ass was so bad I had to sit out for the year.
Would you recommend surgery right away for Joel Embiid, or is it a wait and see type of thing?
Well, no, I think his is different. His is just dislocated, so it requires rest. Or because, you know, every time you get hit in the hand, it re-injures it. So it puts the timetable back. So he can't get the surgery, respectfully. And I don't even know if his back injury requires surgery, but I will say this. I don't know how long he'll be out for, but the many days or weeks he can rest with no contact, the better. Unfortunately, they can't be. I'm hoping they're not talking surgery, though. I'm just hoping they're not.
Okay.
Oh, come on, Mark. It wouldn't surprise you at all if he had to have surgery with this medical staff.
Nah, this season is so important. I can't see it. They're on a mission this year. This is not the past where they losing games on purpose. They trying to win, so I can't see it.
Mark, last week, Al Horford came out and said that he wasn't being used properly and he wants to do more for this offense. Well, no JoJo tonight, so will we see his role shift at all in this Sixers offense?
Yes, I think we will. You know, Al was more comfortable at the center position. He has more spacing to work with, even though Joel Embiid, when he is in there, sometimes Al. The primary thing is Joel on the box, Al on the top of the key. But with that being said, I can see Al get a little busy in a low post area, imposing his will, as well as from the top of the key, you know. And that's where he specializes from shooting and as well as decision making. You can put the ball in Al Horford's hands and look for him at the top of the key, and he can make cuts. He can set pick and pops. He can do those things. So I expect to have a major impact on his ball club against Boston tonight.
Why do you think there has been such a, I don't know, a bit of a learning curve here with Joel Embiid and Al Horford playing together?
I don't think the problem is Joel Embiid and Al Horford. I believe the disadvantage to having Joel Embiid, Al Horford, and Ben Simmons. I have having those three. One guy is okay, meaning Joel is okay for shooting the three and creating space. The other guy refuses to. So the problem is not Joel and Al. The problem is Ben Simmons, Joel, and Al on the court at the same time. That's why the learning curve is so major, because you have three guys who want to work around a box area or around the paint. So that means you only have two perimeter guys. That's total opposite of how nowadays the game is played. You know, I really believe, say with Trey Burks out there, you got Al, you got Joel. I think they can coexist, and anything would be better. But when we have someone, another third guy want to operate in that paint, it's just too crowded.
Mark, say if Joel has to miss five games, whatever it may be, or maybe even a longer extended period of time, is it kind of a detriment at all in your mind to have Horford playing mostly at the five, being as when Joel comes back, you're going to have to get him back to the four? Would you look at it more of a time for him to get himself better adapted at the four in a way where he's going to be okay playing with Joel and Ben Simmons, as you said?
I believe when your best center is out, you're going to plug your second best center in and just make it work. So with Matisse Thybulle back, hopefully, you know, James Ennis, they're not going to play Kyle O'Quinn or Pell more than they would have any time else. Al will be playing a lot at that five spot to help him 35 minutes with Joel being out. He'll be playing at five, and they'll figure it out when Joel get back. I don't think they can look in the future. I think they can put their best five on the court, and their best five includes Al Horford at the center spot.
Would you expect it?
Joel is out.
Gotcha. Right. Would you have expected Matisse Thybulle to have this much of an impact on this team from the start of the season to now? Because the team was doing great with him in. They were something like 15-2 in games that he played more than, I think it was more than 20 minutes. And now he missed a lot of time with his injury, supposed to be coming back tonight. And they just seem like a different team without his presence off the bench.
I agree, because why? He's a player that you just plug and play. You can put him on the court. He can create havoc on the defensive end as well as on the offensive end. He started off slow but has developed into a very consistent and reliable three-point shooter. So once again, we have guys that like Joel, Al Horford, and Ben. They need spacers that can also play the other end, and that's where Matisse comes in. I know everybody wants to talk about JJ. We miss JJ's shooting. But I've always been the one to say, and I say it again, I really believe this team is better now not having one marksman. They have a few guys who's hitting league average or a little bit above, meaning Matisse. So you're not just relying on one guy to space the floor. You got three guys to space the floor. But now on the defensive end, these guys are credible. You don't have to worry about teams going at them. These guys in James Ennis, Matisse Thybulle, Mike Scott. Teams are not going to go at them defensively because they can hold their own.
The other thing is, when you talk about energy off that bench, do you think Trey Burke has now won that backup point guard position?
I know wholeheartedly. I think his impact has been seen very high. He's been very consistent as of late, giving them quality minutes. And I know Coach used the phrase, I don't want guys getting stale or rotten on the bench, which means sometimes he'll be throw guys in there so they get some good rhythm going. But I think Trey Burson playing extremely well as of late. He's kind of found his niche within the lineup. So I don't think it's going to be very hard for Coach Brett Brown to go back, giving Neto those minutes.
Mark, I've seen a little bit more zone from the Sixers lately, and I think, if my eye will tell me the truth here, that maybe even a little matchup zone in there. Do you think this team is kind of built to do that every once in a while, or maybe it could become a true weapon defensively for them?
Believe it or not, I think it could become a weapon for this team.
Yeah, I agree.
Because of their length, you know, from the five, you know, they have to have the average tallest starting lineup in the NBA. You put a matchup zone out there with their arms spread, it will make it difficult. Why? Because there's not enough time on the shot clock to really move the offense. The best way to beat a zone is you got to move from one side to the other. But when it's taking you 8 seconds to bring the ball down the court, that's only giving you 12 seconds to work with. So you got to get something quick and fast where that zone can really help the Sixers. But with that being said, I don't know if that zone will make Ben and Thybulle more effective or take away from their defensive prowess, because
yeah,
those two together on the floor create so much havoc.
Speaking with Mark Jackson, NBC Sports Philadelphia, former Sixer also. With the deal with Ben Simmons, Brett Brown said, he was asked about it,
the comments he made from, I believe it's now 16 games ago, where he was asked about Ben Simmons shooting a three and maybe shooting 8 free throws a game. Those two things have not happened in the 15 games that have happened since that one game after Brett Brown issued the challenge. So Brett said that he's failed. Do you see it as Brett's failure to coach or Ben Simmons' failure to improve?
That's a loaded question.
I know. It's loaded. The chamber is rotating.
I don't believe is Coach Brown has failed as a coach. Maybe he's slightly failed at the connection with one of his star players, that he asked this player to do something for the betterment of the team, and the player refuses to do it. So there's only but so much you can do as a coach to want something from your players. So, for example, if Ben wasn't a starter, a high caliber, an all-star, if, say, Ben was James Ennis would be on the bench. If that was Mike Scott would be on the bench. But because that's Ben, you kind of pick and choose your battles. And he's telling Ben, I need you to shoot it, but Ben refuses to. So I believe it goes to Ben not wanting to. So I'm going to state it like this. Is maybe Ben not wanting to get better, but just Ben just being stuck in his ways of wanting to be the guy he is.
Stuck in his ways, Mark. That's an interesting quote that you have there. Stuck in his ways, to me, right away, what came to my head was he's reached his ceiling. Would that be fair of your assessment of Ben Simmons? We're killing you today with the tough ones, Mark.
Trey, you gonna let me put him in a moment? Put him
in a moment. Hey, man, what you want from me? I'm just letting you hang. You know what I mean?
These are all opinions. They're just opinions. That's all.
Listen. Yes, I hate to say it. If Ben refuses to shoot a jumper, I think this is his ceiling. Coming out of college, I was very harsh on Ben. I thought Ben was a great talent. But I didn't see no more. And you can go back and listen to the tapes. I said Ben was going to be a Lamar Odom type of player, meaning number-wise, where 16-7-7. I believe back then I said 16-6-6 because I didn't see him as a powerful. He wanted to be a point guard, and he refuses to shoot in college. So him coming to the NBA, I thought he was going to be a 16-6-6 or 16-7-7 kind of guy. You go back and listen to the tapes. I said it. So, yes, his numbers last year were higher than what I anticipated, but Ben is showing me if he refused to shoot the jumper, maybe he is a 16-7-7 kind of guy, which is not horrible, but you will want more out of a max player. And more doesn't necessarily mean you got to score 30, but if you're not willing to improve for the betterment of the team, yes, you may be doing great, but you can also become better. And when you become better, it makes the team better. If you refuse to do the one thing that can help everyone, then I have to say this is your ceiling.
All right. Mark Jackson, last one for you tonight. Obviously, we got the matchup with the Celtics tonight. Do you like the Sixers tonight at home against the Celtics?
You know what? I like the Sixers at home versus anybody. Okay. I really do. I do. I like them at home versus anybody. I think it's a mental game now. I think them playing at home is a mental game. When they're at home, they're more comfortable. They know they got their back up there, meaning the fans. They know they can walk down that dark alley because they're coming with 20,000 strong. That's what support them. And it's a mental game. I think mentally they believe they can't be beat at home. Mm-hmm. Or if they can, you got to play an exceptionally A game, and they got to be on the six. Got to be on the F game. So I really believe that the Sixers can beat Boston in their home.
Oh, you know, we have to ask you. We never asked you how mom enjoyed her jersey.
She enjoyed it. Thank you, guys. She enjoyed it very much. Right. Matter of fact, I took a picture. I got to send it to y'all. But she enjoyed it very much, man. And she, you know, she appreciates Trey. And you know, she's not a smarty pants like me. I'm like, yeah, about damn time. Mark, no, man. My mother's always been a fan of Trey since Tank introduced a business partner of Tank and I. Trey and I introduced him 15 years ago, man. Oh, wow. She's always been a fan of Trey. Yeah, and you know what's funny? I forgot to tell y'all this. What's funny is ever since I moved back to Philly 2 years ago from Florida, You'd be surprised or how many times a day. He's like, hey, Trey Thompson. I'm like, no, I'm not Trey.
I can see it. There's a little resemblance. Really tall. You rocked a beard a little bit while you were playing. Mm-hmm. Trey's rocking that now.
You know, we all bald head, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, but, you know, Trey's a good dude, man. I'm happy to see him on it with y'all.
There you go.
Yeah, appreciate it.
About Mark Jackson, you can follow Mark Jackson on Twitter at Jacko2544. Always great talking to my man. Thanks so much.
All right, fellas. Have a good one.
All right, Mark Jackson joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. That is a scary thought, Bob. It's a great question, but is this as good as Ben Simmons gets? Because I think it is. Without a jump shot, without the mid-range game, forget about threes, this is it. If this is what he is for the rest of your career, can you say that that pick was a slam dunk at number one overall? Like, it is a surefire slam dunk great pick, no doubt.
Yeah, it's interesting, and it's baffling, and it's concerning, and it's all of that. But then you break down some things, and you saw, like I saw a stat yesterday, I think I read it to you guys on a break. I think over his last 10 games, he's 17-10-10 and 56% from the floor.
Mm.
Like, okay, that's pretty good, right? Yeah, I hear about all this jump shot talk, and it's true. And Mark's right. You have to wonder if he doesn't get something going on, whether it's floaters, 10-footers, 12-footers, if this is just what you – and I don't want to say just because he is an all-star. Is this all you have? I think the interesting thing tonight – do you start O'Quinn at center and go Horford at the four, Harris at the three, you know, your normal lineup and just O'Quinn replacing Embiid? Or do you go Horford at the five like Mark was talking about, get your best team out there? So if Horford goes to the five, do you go Tobias at the four, start Thibel at three, Richardson at two, Ben at one?
Because
if you do that and you throw Tobias Harris at the four and you start Horford at the five, I think you're starting to look at things a little bit differently. Mm. I think you're starting to think like, wow, maybe Tobias Harris is better at the four.
Mm.
Maybe, you know, the fitting isn't as good as you're thinking here. Because I'm wondering, I'm of the ilk of, look, if one guy's out, replace him with somebody, keep everybody else where they are.
Exactly, yeah.
Don't move Lane Johnson left tackle and this and that. I'm just of the ilk, like, all right, Embiid's out, plug in O'Quinn.
Yeah.
But if they go Horford at the five and Harris at the four, are you thinking like, well, they're both better at those positions?
Yeah.
You know, now controversy could really start.
Yeah, I guess I just like Tobias Harris having more freedom as like a three than he would as a four. But no, I'm with you. I think the first your first inclination is the right one. I think that, yeah, you don't. Peg, you don't knock everybody else down because one guy's out. Like, all right, well, now that this guy can't play, that Embiid can't play, let me shuffle everybody else so that they're not in their best position, or at least the position that they're most comfortable in. I like Tobias Harris's offensive game, especially when he's on. He's been on. He's been hot.
Yeah.
So I like him having that freedom as a three as opposed to a four.
Yeah.
So I would keep him there.
Yeah, me too. And I would... You know, and I've said this so many times, the thought that, Tobias Harris is your starting four and your backup five. Can he be all that?
Right. And I'll say this also about Ben Simmons. He was an all-star last year. And I understand that, and I'm not saying these two are the same, but like Christian Laettner is an all-star because he made an all-star one time. You know, made an all-star game. Ben Simmons made one all-star game. He was, what, sixth in the voting amongst guards?
Yeah.
So is he a lock to make an all-star game again?
No, and, you know, numbers suggest he shouldn't be.
Yeah. So yeah, would it be humbling? Like, you can't say that again, right? After you don't make an all-star team, you can't say, well, I'm not shooting from the outside, but I'm an all-star, so. Well, no, you were an all-star.
Yeah.
I get at the end of your career, you can always say you were an all-star, but it's not like you were the perennial all-star. Because I talk about it, he goes from an all-star candidate, all-star potential, maybe perennial all-star with the talent that he has now, but does he ever get to the MVP conversation with the talent that he has now? I say absolutely not. Right now, at the level he's at,
yeah.
And I think the only thing that's holding him back is being able to shoot 10 to 15 feet away from the basket.
Yeah,
it just opens up so many things. And if somebody were to direct that to Brett Brown, I think his answer would be similar to, I got to wait till Christmas to see what this team is about. Mm-hmm. He has said to me in the past, point guards won't become what they are until they're about 25, 26 years old. Big men, 27 years old. So he'll point that Ben Simmons is just 22, or what is he, 22, 23?
23,
so
yeah.
He would go that, you know, be patient route, and I don't think that's what Sixers fans want.
No. Is he 23 or 24 now? He's 23. That's right, because Kendall's, like, a little older.
Oh, that's how you remember.
She went
his
for
age.
The younger man. That's uh-huh. what I remember. Right. By the way, we got some breaking news for you. Did you guys happen to see this news that's out there right now? According to and the screen just refreshed. Hold on. Give me 1 second.
Talking about the Greg McElroy tweet?
My apologies. Yes, Greg.
I have it right here.
I have it here. Greg McElroy, who works for ESPN Radio, played at Alabama.
Yeah, he's an Alabama
mistaken.
Quarterback. Had a cup of coffee with the Jets, I believe. You know, he's got a lot of friends in the league coming from Alabama.
So Greg McElroy saying right now, I've heard that the Philadelphia Eagles are likely to have a shakeup on their coaching staff today.
Ooh.
Okay.
This was tweeted about 20 minutes ago. So he puts that out there on the social media network, Twitter, and says that there's going to be a coach up on the Eagles staff today. Mm. So who's it most likely? Shake up for me doesn't mean Jim Schwartz is getting hired in Cleveland. You know what I'm saying?
Could
shake up mean someone's losing their job today? If that's true, so who would it be?
I have no idea.
If I had to guess, well, from yesterday's press conference, I think it's Jim Schwartz.
There's some new coaches in the league. Could it be that somebody's plucking? Could Deuce Staley be moving on as offensive coordinator somewhere else?
Right.
Something like that.
See, but the word shakeup, that means someone's getting promoted to another position somewhere else. Shakeup means the Eagles are saying to hell with the rest of the world and all the influences outside. We're making a move right now because we don't believe X deserves to be here anymore.
You put a lot of stank on the word shakeup.
Well, I mean, how could you not?
Shake up. Man.
Yeah.
Shake it up, man.
Okay, right now Bob's shaking, and I'm weirded out. Am I wrong? Like, when I read shake up, I don't read...
Yeah, I think it's fire.
Yeah, right? That's it.
I think Jim probably came back from Cleveland last night and maybe said, yeah, it doesn't look great. And maybe they say, all right, yeah, we're good then.
But
we're good on what? Not getting like, see ya?
Yeah, like I think he probably comes back and says, hey, you know.
I'm not getting that job.
I'm not getting the Cleveland job, just between us. Mm-hmm. And they're probably going, damn, we kind of hoping you were so we could do this a little cleaner.
Right.
But yeah, see ya.
Okay.
Wow, does he deserve to get fired?
No.
I don't think so.
Absolutely not. No, he does
How
not
you can
to get
fire
fired.
Jim over Grow is okay. mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
There's a sexy name that's floating around that's Chris Richard, the guy, former player from Dallas. He was, I believe, their linebacker coach. He's a hot name kind of in the D coordinator world, so maybe with Mike Nolan getting hired under Mike McCarthy, they want to move quick.
And Kellen Moore's staying there?
Kellen Moore looks like he's staying. So maybe they want to move quick on something like that. I don't know, but... Something's in the air.
All I'll say is, in his time here, the Eagles' defense has been like top seven.
Number one in the NFL at home in points allowed.
At home, but I'm saying overall.
Oh, yeah, they're top 10 with no cornerbacks.
I think they're seventh overall since Jim Schwartz has been here, so I think that would be a mistake. I think the greater thing would be, see, I don't think it's a coordinator move. Now, I wouldn't be surprised after yesterday if Jim Schwartz is gone, but I don't think that's the right decision to make. It would be more suiting or more fitting if the Eagles decided to move on from one of the lower ring guys, like a Corey Unlin as their secondary coach.
Is that really a shakeup, though?
It's somebody getting fired. This Eagles moving on from somebody.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just not very sexy. Like, if Corey Unlin gets canned, I'm like, all right, was it even his fault? He's got Ronald Darby, who's 3 inches away from every ball. Jalen Mills can't run. Rasul Douglas can't run. Sidney Jones is lost and caved in on himself. Like, what the hell is Corey Unlin supposed to do?
Right, but then on the other side, if it's Carson Walsh, like somebody who would be the wide receivers coach, Corey Unlin the secondary coach, so you're not blaming the coordinator, you're blaming one of the other assistants. And as Zach Berman pointed out, I knew it was a lot. I didn't know it was five. Five different wide receivers coaches?
In 5 years.
In 5 years?
Yeah, it's kind of wild. Does anybody want that job?
It's like the wide receiver coach of the Eagles is like being a Cleveland Browns head coach. It's like that's how quick they move on from him. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, our next guest is our host tonight. How about that? Our host tonight at Grand Cafe L'Aquila in Center City. He's going to be hosting us for our fine dinner that we're doing with our listeners, Trey. Uh-huh. They're going to be coming out. Our man Ricardo will be joining us from Grand Cafe L'Aquila to tell us about all things and more that are going to be going on at Grand Cafe L'Aquila tonight. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic is 9:24.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Before we talk to our friend Ricardo from Grand Cafe L'Aquila, I want to make sure people hear this one more time because it is something I miss in Philadelphia, and it's Jimmy Butler. Not just his game on the floor, but what he meant to a locker room. And you might say that he everywhere he goes, he divides it. Yeah, I don't feel like he divided anybody here. And it seemed like Brett Brown was more than willing to have a challenge of coaching Jimmy Butler as long as it meant that his players were getting that alpha dog in the locker room as well. But Jimmy Butler got into it with TJ Warren last night as the Heat were playing the Pacers. And this whole thing went back and forth, Jamie, if I'm not mistaken. There was a little jawing on the court, and then it started with became more physical.
A little bit. I think Jimmy overreacted. But he claims...
Not Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I know, right? He claims his issue was what TJ said to him.
Yeah.
So, okay. I don't know. The actual foul itself was weak, and Jimmy came up fist-cocked like he was going to punch him. And I'm sorry, if somebody's coming at me like that, I'm going to say some vile stuff back to them.
Yeah.
To go right to the fist-cock of a punch is... Come on, Jimmy.
But Jimmy's a fighter.
Yeah.
Jimmy wants you to know he's a fighter.
Yeah, so I'm beginning to want, like, is he? Like, somebody that talks about fighting that much. Like, it's the guys that don't talk about it that you got to worry about.
Yeah, that's why, like, Ben Simmons is the silent assassin.
Yeah, like, it's the guys in the fight that are, like, taking the shirt off, ripping it apart. I'm tough. Oh, yeah, all right.
The one yelling and screaming.
Yeah, they're trying to act crazy, maybe to cover for something. I don't know what it is.
First of all, let me just say, for all the young kids out there, all right, if a guy's taking your shirt off and he's coming to fight you, start running. That guy knows what he's doing.
Or just punch him while he's taking the shirt off and get a hand up on the situation.
Generally, it happens quick.
Yeah, you're pulling your shirt over your head. Pow! And then run.
Or hope that he buttoned the sleeves at the bottom so he can take the shirt off. Anyway, and then his hands are... Anyway, so Jimmy Butler after the game then went at TJ Warren a little bit more. Take a listen.
To me, I think it's tough for him because I can guard him and he can't guard me. Like, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. But like I said, I think you just got to watch your mouth in certain situations. There's some that you just don't say as a man. And, I mean, he got to see me the next time because I feel like what he said was truly disrespectful. And it's all good because we see him again. I ain't scared of nobody. So, you know, he talking about, oh, we're going to fight this, that. It is what it is to me.
The kiss. He's soft.
He's not even in my league, like nowhere near me. And if I was their coach, I would never put him on me ever again. He's like, no, put somebody else on me because I'm a tad every time we play. He's trash.
How many points do you think Jimmy Butler scored last night, Trey? If you're listening to that, you would say, what, like 30, 40 points?
Yeah, 30, 40 points.
Like went off. Yeah, exactly, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, 14. Scored 14 points on TJ Warren last night.
They were all, you know, effective.
And I was told on Twitter that Jimmy Butler, or rather TJ Warren's Wikipedia page under personal life, you know, you could go to that section on a Wikipedia page. It said that he is the son of TJ Warren Sr., and his daddy is also Jimmy Butler. So it has been changed. I double checked it, and sure enough, it is. It's true. I even screen grabbed and tweeted it out for the fine people. Jimmy Butler's apparently also his daddy. But isn't it just an interesting thing? It's an edge you don't see too many times from the Sixers, at least people not talking about it. Joel Embiid, after he got into a fight with Karl Anthony Towns on the court, went into the press conference afterwards and said he ain't no bitch. And then he got suspended for 2 games. But at least you saw that fight when there was an actual fight. What you don't hear too many times in the locker room is guys getting pissed off about something that happened within the game like this did, and those guys taking it to the media like Jimmy Butler just did. I miss a little bit of that attitude. True, the guy that you usually don't have to worry about as much is the guy
that is screaming and yelling because he wants to make a show. He doesn't want to hurt you. That's the that's the difference. Jimmy, I think I wouldn't put it past him to try to hurt somebody. I think the guy has some crazy in him.
Yeah, I definitely think there's some crazy in him. But yeah, I'm more of the, I'm like you said, I'm more of the guy that appreciates the guy that doesn't say anything and maybe even takes the first punch before kicking ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Whoa.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. As we've mentioned many times, we got a lot of things going on for our listeners. A lot of things going on for our listeners. Tonight, we're going to be at Grand Cafe L'Aquila with our prize winners who won the dinner package with Grand Cafe L'Aquila. We'll be hanging out there before, like probably around 5 o'clock, 5:30. We'll have some drinks and all that. And then we'll sit down to dinner around 6 o'clock. And we're going to talk to the listeners about just things they want to hear more from us, less things they might want to hear. Just, you know, talk radio, talk sports and all that fun stuff. And then later this month, January 31st, the creme de la creme, we are going to have our second annual cornhole tournament. And now there's been some debate as to what else we're going to be doing there. We're going to have a lot. It's basically going to be a big party Super Bowl weekend where you can come party with us. We'll be doing the show, play some cornhole, maybe win some great prizes from Steven Singer Jewelers from Parks Casino as well. But the other thing is that there might be some manscaping going on, where guys can sample a manscaping a buzzer.
The lawnmower 2.0.
The lawnmower 2.0.
Has skin safe proprietary.
Maybe they shave a design in their chest hair.
Possibly.
For a fine price. Maybe that happens. No, but bottom line is, I had this idea, Trey, and I'm just going to throw it out to you right now. Maybe someone submits a picture and you can paint it.
Say what now?
Maybe somebody submits a picture and you paint the picture. Nah. You don't want to paint a picture? Someone can have a self-portrait of Trey. Okay, I'll paint the picture.
Yeah. Paintings have to be in a certain type of mood.
Really?
When I paint. Yeah.
Got in the wine. Wine helps.
It's indulging?
It's a process.
Yeah. It's not indulging as much as it's relaxed.
Yeah.
You get the artistic juices flowing.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes on when I sit down and decide to paint.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably like some funny stuff in there going on. So who knows? It's just really relaxing.
I only bring this up because I actually had this thought yesterday. I'm leaving the station, and there's the picture of you that's been rehung.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, it's hung.
It's been rehung, yeah. And that's a painting of a picture. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just thought that a listener might want their own self-portrait.
Yeah, no.
But is it a self-portrait if because you have to paint the self-portrait.
Yeah. But that's a process, man. You know, the mind state that I was in when I did this painting.
Oh, yeah? Tell me about it.
Yeah, it was a process. It was a process.
610-632-0975. But we'll have other things going on, of course. The mind reader that's going to be there. Does he have to be in the same room as the person whose mind he's reading? Because I'd like him to watch Doug Peterson during a press conference and tell me what he's really thinking.
I don't know, but I saw him in our offices yesterday down at the... I think he was in with Coach and stuff, and he kind of looked at me, and he was about to say something, and I ran away. I don't want him reading my mind.
Yeah, I don't need nobody to read my mind.
Yeah,
well, you don't even have to read my mind. You ask me a question, I tell you.
Straight up.
It's funny how that works. 610-632-0975. All right, coming up, we'll let you hear one more time from our leaders, Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson, in their press conference yesterday, and a couple of moments that just made us kind of go, where the hell are we going here? Because the guys that are driving the bus don't seem to know where they're going. That was my major takeaway from yesterday's press conference. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Also, we'll let you know how you can win some fine passes to go to the tattoo convention. That's going to be from January 17th through the 19th, right there at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. Visit villainarts.com. It's the 22nd annual Philadelphia Tattoo Art Convention going on right there at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. Let me know how you can win those in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Coming up a little bit later, we'll tell you how you can win those tattoo convention tickets. Also, go see Temple men's basketball with Aaron McKee as the head coach, taking on Tulane Saturday, January 11th at noon at Lee Corps Center. All hot dogs at the game, $1.
That's like a dollar dog.
That's the first time I've ever heard it explained like that. Usually dollar dogs the way you just say it. But yeah, dollar dog, folks. Visit owlsticks.com. I'm going to be going to a Temple game February 8th. By the way, nice little contract extension just got announced for Kevin Negandhi, Philly guy. Temple guy, ESPN guy, so he'll be at ESPN
maybe
for quite
I'll see
some
if he
time.
Wants to come on tomorrow.
You know, maybe we should.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Kevin's a great dude.
He is a great dude. We haven't had him on in like a year.
No, it's been a while.
Yeah, we need to have him on. He apparently his kids are really into Nerf gun fights, which tells me he is a great father because that's how you show that you love your kids. You buy them Nerf guns. I bought my brother a Nerf gun. I bought my nephew a Nerf gun for Christmas. We had a Nerf gun fight on Christmas. It was wonderful. I will say the Nerf guns have become far more advanced. They hurt. I highly recommend glasses, goggles, whatever they might be. Carl in North Philly. What's going on, Carl?
Good morning, fellas.
Hey, buddy.
Good, man. Good. I just wanted to just talk about two things, man. First of all, I just want to start off with the meeting, the press conference yesterday. I'm pretty much like in the same place Doug is in right now. As far as not being too quick to jump the gun on getting rid of coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he's still in the process of thinking about it and just weighing out the pros and the cons. I really truly believe it's something about him and Swartz where I don't know what it is or, you know, if it is, but I just feel as though it's something about him and Swartz where he doesn't fully have control over Swartz, so to say. I would say, like, I don't know what it is, but it's a vibe that I get that Doug is trying to clean up and get everybody back on board so he can go for another ring.
Well, I'll say it like this, Carl. I hear what you're saying, but what was interesting about this setup, and maybe this is where the one microphone actually came in handy when it's two people's press conference. Doug stepped away right at the end of him kind of answering the question, and then how he came in. So if anybody was going to champion the cause or put a seal of approval on Jim Schwartz coming back, Howie was stepping to the mic, and he just said the same thing Doug said, which is, yeah, we have meetings.
Yeah, and the reason why is because, I mean, you have to really look at it. His stats is in the top tier as defensive coaches since he's been there, so it's hard to just get him out of there just so fast. I mean, if you really think about it, this season we suffered from bad decision-making. And it really didn't fall on the D.C. this year. You know, and that last game against Seattle, I don't know what else Swartz could have done. Like, I mean, so him and Howie right now just need to my next point, get ready for the draft, which is don't draft high. Sell some picks, draft.
Oh, draft. Trade back.
Yeah, you have to because next year, at worst case scenario, I still like us at 3-3. At the six game mark, so at 3-3.
Wait, hold on a second, Carl. The schedule hasn't even come out yet.
It doesn't even matter, bro. you know what I'm saying? Because the reason why I say that is that our division is bringing in all new coaches, so it's going to take them those first six games to even get acclimated to the NFC. We might be 4-2, 5-1, just off the coach changes in the division.
Carl, don't be that negative. There's no reason to be negative.
My point is, if we draft back and we get some more assets, we'll be able to make those moves that we didn't make this year, like the Jadeveon Clowney
right.
and Antonio Brown. So that's all. So
hey, Carl, good stuff though, man. Do you want to go to the Temple basketball game on Saturday?
Saturday, what time?
Noon.
Yes, absolutely.
Check the rest of your schedule. Maybe I'll give you more tickets. No, you stay right there, Carl. Thanks for the call, man. We're going to give you a pair of Temple tickets to go see Temple Owls basketball take on Tulane. Men's basketball team with Aaron McKee as the head coach Saturday, January 11th at noon at the Lee Corps Center. All hot dogs at the game are only $1. Visit owlsticks.com. Real quick, let me get my man Scott in Barrington up here. Scott, no one's thinking about spring training. You're thinking about Philly spring training right now?
Yup, sure am. You know, I got to be an Owl boy, brother Mark.
Why is that? What are you looking at for spring training?
Let me ask two questions. First of all, Jim and the jury, what's happening back there, fellas?
All right.
Good. Brother Mark, two quick things.
Yo.
Whoa. can you, I know they brought some guys in, but the moves that they made, how do you feel on a scale of 1 to 10? Let me ask you that. With the free agents they brought in, give me a scale of 1 to 10, what you thought about.
I mean, Wheeler's, it's a good pickup. It's a good second starter on your roster. It's just a matter of, or in your rotation, it's just a matter of, see, I'm still speaking football terms. He's a good pitcher. He has the ability to be great. Needs to move his second half of the season success a little bit more into the first half of the season.
Okay, thanks for that. So last but not least, besides, Coach Joe Girardi, what else excites you about this year's Philly team? Fellas, this is Dan Chappice. God bless. Take on out.
Same, man. The fact that there's still a lot of offseason to go, I guess, even though pitchers and catchers report in a little over a month.
I think 33 days, if I'm not mistaken. I had the countdown on Sunday night after the loss.
Sam, what was the final on our Twitter poll?
Today we asked, did Howie and Doug inspire confidence in you for the 2020 Eagles season? Yes or no? We had just under 1,600 votes today. Same as last time, 59% say no.
Yep, that's not a good thing. And Sam, what is your takeaway of the day?
Real quick, that's brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. And then my takeaway is I can't wait to see listeners today and talk to them and hear all their thoughts and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Grand Cafe L'Aquila, yeah. Center City, between 17th and 18th Street on Chestnut Street, right in Center City. Literally my favorite place to be in the city. Jamie?
My takeaway of the day is don't do ecstasy before press conferences.
Or ever, kids. Or ever.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun with that.
But especially before press conferences.
Especially, don't do it before a microphone's in front of your face. Bob Cooney?
Yeah, if you're going to do ecstasy, do it before you paint. Right, Trey?
That might be cool.
It depends on what you're trying to accomplish.
Trey, what's your takeaway today?
I don't know, man. Hey, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody tonight. It'll be fun.
My takeaway of the day is that there's a shakeup coming on the Eagles coaching staff.
Yeah,
apparently.
There is.
There's a report out there from ESPN saying that there's a shakeup. Could be coming. Talk about it maybe tomorrow here at 97.5, The Fanatic.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.